What makes a hero, well, heroic? If you want to be a hero in God's eyes, what would you need to do? We'll consider that as John MacArthur today looks at some unlikely biblical heroes, showing you what you can learn from both their faith and failings. That's next on Grace to You Weekend. So, what comes to your mind when you hear the word hero? Maybe it's a firefighter, a police officer, a soldier, a doctor, a selfless school teacher. Really, a lot of people could rightly be called heroic, but what sort of people are the greatest heroes? And what does that sort of heroism look like? What sets it apart? Can you still find those kind of heroes today? Well, to consider the question, stay tuned now for Grace to You Weekend as John MacArthur looks at some unlikely heroes in Scripture, showing you what made them truly heroic and what you can apply from their lives. To get started, here's John MacArthur to introduce you to the Old Testament character Enoch, a man who walked with God.
In order to justify titling the series 12 Unlikely Heroes, we probably ought to talk about the word hero a little bit and at least get the definition that we're going to be able to work with, because it might be quite different from the contemporary definition of hero. In fact, I would say that the word hero is slowly losing its significance. We use and abuse words, and consequently we have a way of diluting their impact. And hero is one of those words that once was a word isolated for people of very, very unique accomplishment and very unique achievement. Not everybody could fall into the category of hero. Not everybody could be called a hero. Now, just about anybody with celebrity status can become heroic. And you hear people refer to my favorite person as my hero. Our heroes are made up of people who aren't really heroic. What is true heroism? In my judgment, the greatest heroes are those who are the human means that God uses to change people forever. Those are the real heroes. They're the ones that are the instruments that God uses to bring people to Him, into His kingdom, to give Him glory and to serve Him forever. And these true heroes, to be honest, these people who have an eternal impact are invariably the most unexpected. And they are the most ordinary. We know that God is in the business of using unlikely heroes. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 27. See your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. In other words, God works through people whom the world regards as weak and foolish and unqualified. They're not self-reliant. They're not self-sufficient. They are very unlikely, and yet when given unique opportunities for eternal impact, become useful to God to accomplish His eternal ends. Now, we can establish just some sort of simple criteria by which these people can be classified. The pages of Scripture are actually filled with a lot more than 12. That's a very limited sampling, to be honest. But there would be three things that mark these people. One would be faith, faith in God, and the other would be faithfulness, and that is to say they had an enduring commitment to God, and it survived every imaginable and unimaginable difficulty. And then thirdly, fruitfulness. That would be the impact that they had. Providentially, these people of faith who were faithful, whose faith endured, are providentially used by God in remarkable, remarkable ways, and ways that stretch even beyond their own life and their own time. The first such person we meet in the Bible is a man named Enoch. Enoch. And for us to get into the story of this man named Enoch, I want you to look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews where he is mentioned. As we will see in a moment, he is mentioned also in Genesis 5 and referred to in the Epistle of Jude, and a very passing reference of his name two other places in the Old Testament. And by the way, the Enoch that we're going to be looking at in Hebrews 11, 5, and 6 is not the only Enoch in the Bible. In fact, in the book of Genesis, there are actually two men named Enoch. The first Enoch appears in the fourth chapter of Genesis, and he is the son of Cain. Cain had relations with his wife. She conceived and gave birth to Enoch. He built a city, called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. So it was a very common name. It actually became the name of a city. The word seems to mean beginning or initiation. So when Cain had a son, he named him initiation or beginning. But the son that we're looking at is not a son of Cain, but a son of Seth. Son of Seth, the righteous line, the good people. Let's look at Hebrews 11. And it says of him in verses 5 and 6, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Enoch, this remarkable individual, had a basically revealed impact in future generations, as we will see. So here we see him listed in Hebrews 11 as one of those people that we can look at as having heroic faith. And to tell you the story of Enoch, we have to go back to the fifth chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5. And in Genesis chapter 5, we have the descendants of Adam given to us. This is the genealogy that stretches from Adam onward down to Noah, and then his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the genealogy ends there. The genealogy ends there for obvious reasons. The flood comes after that, and the world is destroyed. This is the descendants of Adam through Seth. And down in verse 21, we read about Enoch. He lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, there's a very definite break in the flow here. Very definite. If you read through the genealogy, you will see a phrase repeated again and again. If you go back to verse 5, Adam lived 930 years and he died. Verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. And then it goes on, verse 8, the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Enosh, verse 10, lived 815 years, had other sons. Verse 11, 905 years total, and he died. And then verse 14, Kenan, 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel, verse 17, 895 years, and he died. And Jared, verse 20, 962 years, and he died. And then it says about Enoch, he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Here's somebody who didn't die. He didn't die. The "and he died" shows the effect of the fall. The brief history of Enoch breaks the pattern. It breaks the pattern. And he becomes the father of Methuselah. Methuselah is a word that means, or a name that means, the man of the sending forth, or the man of the spear, or the man of the javelin. Something shot out. He was a God-named prophecy. His name means that he would not die until the judgment was sent forth. until judgment came, he would not die. He is the man that is linked with the judgment. Divine judgment would not come until Methuselah died. So, the demonstration of God's mercy is he lived longer than any other person, 969 years. So, for 969 years, until Methuselah died, the world of people was being warned that judgment was coming. The year Methuselah died, down in verse 27, says, and he died, the flood shot forth and drowned the world. God let him live longer than anybody else. Grace was extended in the face of judgment, and when he died, the flood came. Now his father is Enoch. Twice it is said of Enoch that he walked with God. That is the definitive description. Verse 22, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God. It's so amazing that it's repeated twice. It is so unique. That's why it's repeated. It stands out from all the rest. And we are told he walked with God for 300 years. You know, it's a struggle to make it for 70 or 80, to walk with God faithfully. 300 years he walked with God. 300 years in the midst of a horribly corrupt world. This is the remarkable characteristic about Enoch. He lived against the grain of his society. When it says that Enoch walked with God, how are we to understand that? How are we to understand the remarkable significance of that? And not just the significance of him walking with God, but the consequence of that, the impact of that. He just walked into heaven. Verse 24 says, he was not, for God took him. One day, during his 365th year, while walking with God, they just walked together into heaven. There's only one other person recorded in Scripture who didn't die. And that one other person is Elijah. And that's recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2. And Elijah one day was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. Enoch is a remarkable, remarkable person. He comes into the world 57 years after the death of Adam. He goes out of the world 69 years before the birth of Noah. Noah is Enoch's great-grandson. And in the year of the world, 987, he's taken to heaven. Some 600 years later, 669, the flood comes. His disappearance is shocking, sudden, inexplicable. People were people, and people were used to normal explanations. It wasn't a time of miracles. How in the world did they come to understand that nobody could find Enoch? And nobody was there to explain where he went. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. And I want to show you the lessons that can be learned about his spiritual impact, his spiritual influence. And there are just a number of things that are very simple that shape our understanding of this man. Let me just give you the list, and then we'll work our way through it simply. His life is an epic life. It is a standout life. It is an influential life. In that sense, he's a spiritual hero because he has such a profound spiritual effect on those around him and even on us because of his example and his testimony. But here are the components or the features that made up that impact. Number one, he believed in the true God. He believed in the true God. Number two, he sought God's reward. He believed in the true God. He sought God's reward. Number three, he walked with God. Number four, he set an example. Number five, he preached the Word of God. And as a result, he entered into the presence of God. That was the consequence. So five things to say about him. He believed in the true God. He sought God's reward. He walked with God. He set an example. And he preached the Word of God. And as a result, God elevated him into his presence. Now let's start where that little outline starts by looking at verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, and that would certainly be true of Enoch because God walked with him right into heaven. He had entered into fellowship with God. But he who comes to God must believe that he is. But we'll stop there for a minute. Believing that God is the God he is. That's the basis of pleasing God. It says in the Old Testament twice that he walked with God, that he walked with God. Here it says at the end of verse 5, he was pleasing to God. Really, that's one and the same. And in the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, in Genesis 5, where it says in Hebrew he walked with God, the Septuagint, the Greek says he was pleasing to God. So walking with God is simply an indication that God accepts one. He was acceptable to God. He was pleasing to God. God was satisfied to be in his company, in his presence, in fellowship with him. And what establishes that is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, to walk with him, to be in his company. Now, you don't come to God by works, you come by faith, and we know that, and that's emphasized here. He who comes to God then must believe that he is. You have to believe in the God who is God. That is such a profound statement, that he is. And what is the name when God is asked his name back in the book of Exodus? And what is your name? What does God say? I am that I am. And he gives the verb to be. And that's right here again. That he is, I am who I am, the eternal I am, the eternal living one. You must believe in the God who is God, the uncreated one, the eternal one. Not in a God who is a creature. Not in a God who is made with hands or concocted out of the human mind, an invented God. You must believe in the God who is God, identified in Scripture as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only faith pleases God, and only when faith is placed in the true God, the true God. There is no other way to walk with God. There is no other way to please God than to identify yourself as a believer in the God who is the true and living and one and only God. That is why the commandments of Exodus 20 start out with, you shall have no other gods before me. And the sum of all the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is to say, there is no affection remaining for any other deity, for none other deity exists. Enoch believed in the true God, and that pleased the true God. And God then gave himself in companionship and fellowship and company to this man, Enoch. He is an illustration of the fact that the only way to walk with God, the only way to please God, is by putting your trust in him, believing in the God who is God. And for us in the New Testament, there's no salvation in any other name than Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. You cannot believe in the true God unless you believe in the true God who is a Trinity, who is revealed in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. And all that is true about the Father, and all that is true about the Son, and all that is true about the Spirit is true about God, and this is the God in whom you must believe. So that's the first thing to say about Enoch. He believed in God. He was a man who had put his faith in the true God.
You've been listening to John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary, both in the Los Angeles area. Today, on Grace to You Weekend, John has launched a 4-week look at some of Scripture's most unexpected heroes. Now, the message you just heard was only a teaspoon taste of some of John's most recent teaching from Grace Church. In fact, the subject today, Enoch, is one of a dozen people that John is looking at. And if I may say so, John, they make up one unlikely cast of characters.
And that's the fun of the book. And it's just really thrilling to go through the story of each of these people that we cover in this book called 12 Unlikely Heroes. We all have an idea of what a hero is, somebody who accomplishes great exploits, somebody who changes the world for the better, changes the course of history, rescues somebody, makes a difference. We're not talking about fantasy heroes, the kind of people in mythology that don't even exist. And we're not talking about that kind of trivial heroism where every kid gets a trophy just so they feel better about themselves. But we're talking about the kind of people that change life and history. We all know about those. They give their lives. They sacrifice themselves. And they make a difference in the world. But we're going even beyond that. We're not talking about earthly heroes, heroes who make life here better. The book 12 Unlikely Heroes talks about spiritual heroism, how God used some very unlikely people to accomplish his supernatural goals and purposes. And he's still in the business of doing that. We're going to look at the story in the book of Enoch, Joseph, Miriam, Gideon, Samson, Jonathan, Esther, Mark, and others. And their stories are compelling, exciting, thrilling, unique, sometimes bizarre stories. But in the end, the real hero in all of it is God. He's the one behind the stories moving all the characters. The book, 12 Unlikely Heroes, available from Grace to You. We'd love to get one into your hands.
God uses the weak, the timid, even the helpless to accomplish his divine purposes. That encouraging truth is reinforced again and again in John's new book, 12 Unlikely Heroes. Pick up your copy or give us a call and go online today. Our toll-free number here is 1-800-55-GRACE. And the web address is gty.org. 12 Unlikely Heroes is affordably priced and shipping is free. Again, the number to order, 800-55-GRACE, or order from the website gty.org. And keep in mind, the Grace to You weekend is listener-supported. We regularly hear from folks who let us know how much they learn on these broadcasts for their spiritual nourishment. And that kind of personal ministry happens because listeners like you stand with us. So thanks for your prayers and for expressing your support when you write. The address here, Grace to You Weekend, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And thank you for mentioning this station's call letters when you write. That's more important than you may realize. Again, the address, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And the phone number, 1-800-55-GRACE. For John MacArthur and our staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller, thanking you for being here today. Remember, you can see Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV, Channel 378. You can also watch that online at gty.org. And remember, the daily radio broadcast heard Monday through Friday across the United States. Check our website for stations and times near you. And then join us right here next week as John continues unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You Weekend.